Parashas Bo continues the narrative of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, Hashem's bringing repeated plagues on Paro until he finally sends the people out, although he changes his mind. And next week's Parasha, Parashas Beshalach, we have the climactic denouement of the Kriyas Yamsuf and the destruction of the Egyptians in the sea. The very first words of Parashas Bo, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Bo el Paro, Hashem explains, Ki aniach badati es libo v'eslev avadav, because I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants in order to apply my miracles, in order to impose my miracles upon him, that you'll tell your children and your grandchildren that I toyed with Egypt and all the great miracles that I've done, and you will know, Ki ani Hashem. This expression, that Hashem hardened Paro's heart, occurs about eight times in the first few parashios of Sefer Shmos. Back in Parashat Shmos, when Hashem gives Moshe his initial instructions, he says, "Vani achazek es libo, I will harden Paro's heart, v'lo yishalach es ha'am, and he will not set the people free. He will not send them out." Later, "Va'era, vani aksha es leiv Paro, I will harden Paro's heart," Hashem says, and by doing that, I will have the opportunity to multiply the miracles that he will perform at Paro's expense. In Parshas Va'era again, after the plague of Shechin, the plague of boils, it says, "Vayechazik Hashem eslev Paro, Hashem hardened Paro's heart, flo shama alayim, kasher dibra Hashem al Moshe." And indeed, Paro didn't listen to Moshe and Aaron, as Hashem had foretold. This week's parasha, Parsha's Boat, the very first words we mentioned, Ki aniach badati es libo v'eslev avadav. Later in the parasha, after the first plague in this parasha is plague number eight, the plague of locusts. After the locusts are removed, it says, Vayechazik Hashem eslev Paro, Hashem hardens Paro's heart. Later in the parasha, after Makas Choshech, before Makas Bechoros, it says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem told Moshe, Lo yishma alechem Paro, Paro will not listen to you. And it says, Vayechazik Hashem eslev Paro, Hashem hardened Paro's heart, v'lo shilach es bnei Yisrael me'artzo, and he refused to send the Jews out. Finally, after beginning of Parashas Beshalach, after Makas Becharos, right before Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, Vayechazik Hashem eslev Paro, melech Mitzrayim, Hashem hardened Paro's heart, and he pursued the bnei Yisrael, v'bnei Yisrael yotzim biyad rama. So we have seven times where the Torah uses the word Hashem says he will or he has hardened Paro's heart, three different verbs, sometimes Bani Achazek, a slave Paro, Bani Aksha, a slave Paro. Achazek means to make strong, Aksha means to make hard. And then in this week's parasha, Ki aniach badati es libo, that's a third verb from Kaved. So we have seven times, three different verbs that Hashem says that he will or has hardened Paro's heart, and he has ensured that Paro will not set the Jews free. So, beginning with the Midrash, and then throughout the medieval period and post-medieval period, these psukim troubled the great Jewish thinkers, the great writers on Jewish thought. Hashem made Paro do what he did. The game is rigged. How is this fair? It's fundamental to Judaism that people have free will, that people have the choice to do bad or good. And here Hashem seems to be manipulating Paro like a puppet, making him do all the things he did. Why was Paro punished so much for it? Why did Hashem keep excoriating him and punishing him? If Hashem was making him do it, it's hardly his fault. So what is going on here exactly? What is all this talk about hardening Paro's heart? How is this consistent with our general principle that people have free will? And how is it fair to punish Paro for what he did if he did not have free will in his actions? So, as I said, it's a well-known question. It is discussed by many different Jewish thinkers. Tonight we're going to go through a survey, cover some of the better-known, some of the lesser-known approaches to this question. The question first appears, as I mentioned earlier, in Midrash, Shmos Rabbah. Shmos Rabbah brings a discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ki aniach badati es libo, our parasha, the first words in the parasha, Ki aniach badati es libo, Rabbi Yochanan says, this is a pischon pel aminim. This is a golden opportunity for the minim, for the sectarians, for those who who mock or cast aspersions on the Torah, that Paro had no choice. Paro didn't have the option to do tshuva. Rabbi Yochanan says, in other words, this pasuk is very troubling. It seems to give the minim a very solid basis to attack the theology and the fairness of the Torah. And it's a difficult pasuk. He's saying, "Kenich barati es libo." What is this all about? He doesn't have an answer. Rishum ben Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan's great colleague, Rishum ben Lakish says, "Nope, isasim piim shel minim. Let the mouths of the minim be stopped up. The minim have no objection to the fairness of God, to the fairness of the Torah. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu warns a person, pam rishona, shnia, v'shlishis, v'enachozer bo." Hashem warns a person once, twice, three times. He does not change course. He does not do tshuva. From then on, at some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is noel libo min tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu seals off his heart, locks his heart against tshuva in order to have the chance to punish him. Kedil lefrom imenu mashachata. That is the way Hashem runs the world. A person has several chances, but after that, at some point, Hashem takes away the chance for him to do tshuva. Afkach paro harasha. The evil Paro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him five chances. The first five plagues, Chamesh Pa'amim V'lo Ishkiach Al Dvarav, Hashem gave him five chances to listen, to obey, to do what God wanted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "You had your chance. You had multiple chances. Ata Ikshisa Arpacha, you stiffened your neck. V'chbadata Aslibcha, you yourself, you did this. The first five makas, it was totally up to you. You exercised your free will, you chose the path of evil, therefore we're done. Hareini mosiv lecha tuma al tumascha, I will now increase your tuma." That's what it means, hinich barati es libo. That no more chances, no more choice for Paro. From then on, after the first five plagues, Paro had no more opportunity to do tshuva. Tanchuma, version of this midrash as well, more concisely. The Tanchuma points out, we mentioned that there are seven places where the Torah uses the word Vayechazik Hashem, Ki Ani Achbadati, seven times the Torah uses the words that Hashem says that I have done it or I will do it. If we read carefully where those seven times are, so the first couple of times are in Shmos and Va'era before the whole narrative begins. Hashem foretells this is what is going to happen, Vani Achazik Eslibo, Vani Akshes Le Paro. Shem tells Moshe ultimately how the events will unfold. I will do it. But then, as we go through the plagues, for the first five plagues, Dam Tzvardei Akinim Arov Dever, it does not say Hashem hardened his heart. After each plague, it says, after several of the plagues, it says Vayechazak Le Paro. Paro hardened his heart. His heart became hard. It does not say that Hashem hardened his heart. That phrase, that Hashem actually did it, does not appear until after Makas Shchin, plague number 6. After plague number 6, Dam Tzvardei Akinim Arov Dever Shchin, after plague number 6, that's the first time that it actually says, Vayechazik Hashem Eslei Paro, that Hashem actually did it, Kasher Dibra Hashem El Moshe, as he had foretold earlier. After plague number 7, Barad, it actually does not say, Vayechazik Hashem Eslei Paro, it just says, Vayechazak Lei Paro. But the Feitar on the Midrash explains that the Midrash is referring to the first pasuk in this week's pasuk, Nich Badati Es Libo. After, right before Makas Arba, which is after Makas Barad, Hashem says, Nich Badati. So we find the language that Hashem says, I have hardened his heart. So after Shchin, it says, Vayechazik Hashem Eslev Paro. After Barad, it says, Nich Badati. After Arba, again, in our parsha in Bo, it says, Vayechazik Hashem Eslev Paro. Hashem did it. After Makas Choshech, we mentioned, it says that Moshe and Aaron did everything Hashem said, Vayechazik Hashem Eslev Paro. And after Makas Becharos, in the beginning of Beshalach, before Kriyas Yamsef, once again it says, Vayechazik Hashem Eslev Paro. So 4 out of 5 of the last plagues, it says, Vayechazik Hashem Eslev Paro. Barad, it does not, but it says, Ki Ani Achbadati Eslibo. So the Tanchuma and the Shmos Rabbah, where they say 5 times, both of them are establishing this idea, are asserting this idea. The first 5 makos, we do not find that Hashem hardened Paro's heart. Paro had 5 chances to receive Musar from Hashem, to receive chastisement from Hashem and correct his actions. He did not do so. He chose to harden his heart. After those 5 times, he lost his chance. Mikan ve'elach and ratzel l'shloch eini mekabel. Hashem said, too late, you had your opportunity. The first 5 times was Paro. The last 5 times was by Yechazik Hashem. Hashem controlled Paro. That is the position of the Midrash, Shmos Rabbah, and Tanchuma. And this idea, besides being the Midrash, is also famously associated with many other commentaries, but also in particular with the Rambam. Rambam develops this idea at great length. Rambam discusses the idea in Hilchot Tshuva, the Laws of Repentance, where he discusses the whole concept of free will and sin and repentance. So the Rambam develops at great length the thesis that people have free will, people can choose, and he says that there are psukim that indicate that people don't have free will, and he deals with numerous psukim throughout Tanakh that seem to deny the idea of free will. And in the course of his detailed discussion, he said, the Rambam establishes, like the Midrash, he says, sometimes a person will do a great chet, or many, many chataim, many sins, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the true judge, decides that the punishment is, the special punishment for this bad behavior, for this recidivist bad behavior, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away his ability to do tshuva. Hashem doesn't give him the opportunity to do tshuva anymore, so that he should die and be destroyed for his sins. He brings various examples of this in different places in Tanakh, and the one relevant to us is Lefikach Kasev BaTorah. That's what the Torah means. It's written in the Torah, Vani Aksha Slave Paro, because Paro had initially been Chote Me'atzmo Tchila Vehera Li Yisrael Hagarim Ba'arto. Paro had initially started out being bad when he said Havan Eschachmalo. Therefore, Nasan Hadin Limnoa Hachuva Menu Ach Nifra Menu. That's why Paro lost his ability to do tshuva. Lefika Chizik HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eslibo, and he did not have the chance to do tshuva anymore. Now, it's noteworthy, the Rambam seems to be different from the Midrash in one very interesting way. The Midrash, both the Shmos Rabbah and the Tanchuma, the Midrash understands that Paro actually did not have his heart hardened by God until five plagues had passed and he had chosen five times to be a Rasha. That's why we only find the language of Vayechazek Hashem, in the last five plagues. Kiniach Badati, Vayechazek Hashem, only in the last five plagues. Rambam seems to understand that Paro may not have had the chance to do tshuva in any of the plagues. Because when the Rambam says, the Rambam doesn't mention anything about five plagues and five plagues. When the Rambam explains what the Mitzrayim did wrong, what Paro did wrong, he doesn't say he did wrong in refusing to listen to God in the first five plagues. He says, what did Paro do wrong? The very first few psukim in Parsha Shmos, Havan is Chachmalo. That was what Paro did wrong. The initial attempt to persecute the Jewish people back in Parsha Shmos, that was what he did wrong, and that was why he lost his ability to do tshuva, and that's why Hashem says, Vani Aksha Eslei Paro, right back in Shmos, Hashem says, Vani Aksha Eslei Paro. Other commentaries following the Midrash say Hashem was not saying, I'm going to do that right away. He was saying, I'm going to do that, I'm telling you the future, I will do that eventually. It hasn't really been determined yet. Paro still could do tshuva, but Hashem knew the future and knew he would eventually take that step of taking away Paro's Bechira. However, according to the Rambam sounds like he's learning, Kipshuto, that because of what Paro did of Havan is Chachmalo, because of the persecutions in the very beginning of Parsha Shmos, Hashem had already determined that Paro had forfeited his Bechira, and right away then, back in Parsha Shmos, Vani Aksha Slave Paro, right then Hashem had already said, Paro's fate is sealed, Paro has no longer any opportunity to do tshuva, Paro is done. But in any event, the Rambam and the Midrash are roughly saying the same thing. They're both taking this approach that even though a person does generally have Bechira, and Paro himself at one point in his life had Bechira, at some point Paro, Hashem took away Paro's free will, either immediately after he said Havan is Chachmalo or after five plagues, but at some point Paro lost his ability to make the right choice. Rambam then goes on and asks the obvious question, if this is true, like I say, like the Midrash says, that Paro lost his freedom of choice, why did Hashem go through the whole charade? Why did he keep sending Moshe and say, send them out and do tshuva? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had ensured he had no choice anymore. So he says that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just showing his power, that how awesome his onesh was, that when Hashem decides that someone has lost his chance to do tshuva, he was showing how helpless Paro was. Paro was being smashed again and again and again, and Paro simply couldn't do anything about it. Paro could, like a broken record, Paro kept saying, no, no, no. That exactly was Hashem's point. Hashem wasn't trying to say that we're going to give Paro a chance. Paro was not being given a chance. Hashem wanted to show how helpless Paro was, how his struggles were almost comical, that none of it mattered, and he couldn't do anything. Hashem could give him the most compelling and obvious, the obvious solution for Paro was, call it a day, discretion is the better part of valor, but Hashem was showing he can't do that. When I decide that Paro is going to be destroyed, Paro is going to be helpless to do the most obvious and common sense things. That was Paro's fate, and that was Hashem's demonstration. That was Laman Shisi Osose Eile, Laman Tesaper. Hashem was showing how helpless and how utterly helpless Paro was. That was Hashem's point.
Rabbi, okay, Miss Linda. So my question to you is: there was at one point, I can't remember for which play, that the people of Mitzrayim begged Paro to let the Jews go. So if this concept of Hashem knowing from the beginning that this was going to happen, he was just sort of being, Pharaoh was just being a puppet for Hashem to show his strength. So whatever happened to the Mitzrim after they pleaded with Pharaoh to release the Jews, they were just like collateral damage?
Yes, that's a good point. So what you're referring to is the narrative in the beginning of this, the very beginning of this week's parasha, right after the pasuk of Aniach Badati Aslibo, after Moshe and Aaron went to Paro, and they threatened him with a biblical plague of locusts. So it says that Paro's servants told him, "Ad masa yezalang lamokesh, how long shall we let Moshe be a snare for us? Send them out already. Let's go. We're done. Atarim tedik yavdim etrayim. Don't you know our situation is hopeless? Just throw in the towel already." And Paro indeed made some concessions. He said, "I'll let some of you go. Who wants to go?" And Moshe said, "Everyone." Paro said, "No deal." Yeah, so that's an interesting question. Some of the psukim do say that the hardening of the heart extended to Paro's servants as well. We had in our pasha, the first pasuk in Parsha's Bo, Aniach Badati Aslibo Ve'eslev Avadav. Hashem had said that the hardening actually extended to Paro's servants as well, that they themselves had lost, apparently, according to the Midrash, according to the Ram, had lost their free will as well. Yet we do see that they were giving in at this point. So what happened to the hardening? These are good questions. I'm not sure. Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I don't have that much to say about that. But yes, we do see that at least at some point there was some daylight between Paro and his servants. His servants were less intransigent than he was. And yes, and that's a good point. Did they have less hardening? Were they simply less? Did Hashem know they wouldn't be listened to anyways? So he didn't bother hardening their heart. Yes, as much as he did Paro. So I'm not sure. It's an interesting point. Okay. So anyway, this is the shita of the Midrash, the Rambam, and the traditional approach. I think that normally people have free will, but this was an exception. This was an exception that Hashem took away. Hashem took away their free will. The Ramban, in his commentary back earlier, Bani Aksha Eslei Paro, Ramban brings the Midrash, and he explains the Midrash as follows. He says that the Midrash is, of course, addressing the question that he says everyone asks, the Sheila Sher Yishalu HaKol, that the Midrash puts this question into the mouths of the Minim. The Minim will have this question. Ramban says everyone has this question, that why is it Paro's fault? Ramban says the Midrash is telling us there are really two answers to this question. The Ramban reads the Midrash carefully and says that there are two answers. First of all, he says that Paro, the answer we've been saying, based on the simple reading of the Midrash and the Rambam, Paro himself had done terrible things. He says, Paro Barisho, Asher Asali Yisrael, Rose Kidolos Chinam, Paro in his great villainy had done terrible things to the Jewish people without any provocation, without any cause at all. So therefore, in Ischayev, Hashem had determined he deserved the fate, Limnoi Menu Darchei Atshuva, to lose the ability to do tshuva, and the Rambam took him to that effect, as the Rambam says as well. And he was punished for his initial actions. Then, as the Rambam says, as we've been explaining the Midrash, that's the first element to this Midrash, that the Paro is being punished for his original sins. He lost the chance to do tshuva. Of course, obviously, that means he couldn't be punished for whatever he did after that point, but he's being punished for what he did originally, before he forfeited his free will. The Ramban adds a second element to this Midrash, which we haven't discussed until now. The Ramban says that the Ramban points out that the The first few makos, as we noted, it doesn't say Hashem hardened Paro's heart. Only the last few makos. Says the Ramban that when Paro gave in to the last few makos, that was obviously not because he got religion, because he had genuine Yirah Shemayim. The Ramban says that he only did it because he couldn't tolerate the plagues, not because he genuinely had Yirah Shemayim and wanted to do the right thing. Therefore, Paro did not deserve the chance to do tshuva because he wasn't doing genuine tshuva. He was only doing this because he couldn't tolerate the plagues. Hashem said, that's not good enough. The fact that you're going to give in because of the plagues, that itself is, that doesn't count as tshuva. And therefore his heart was hardened, because even after that he wasn't doing genuine tshuva. Paro wasn't trying to do genuine tshuva. He was only giving in. He only would have given in because he couldn't tolerate the plagues. The Ramban is taking the position that is not genuine tshuva. And therefore, the fact that Hashem hardened his heart, he didn't stop him from doing genuine tshuva. He just stopped him from doing this pseudo tshuva, from giving in under pressure. That wasn't really a tshuva anyway, so it was legitimate for Hashem to harden his heart. This latter point is developed further in the Sefer HaIkrim. Rav Yosef Albo, in the Sefer HaIkrim, I actually saw this in a discussion of our topic by Nechama Leibowitz in one of her Gilyonot. So the Sefer HaIkrim has a lengthy discussion of this topic as well, in his discussions of free will and tshuva. And he says, Chazal distinguished between tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'ira. Chazal in general distinguished between tshuva done out of avas Hashem, love of God, and tshuva done out of yiras Hashem, out of fear of God. But then the Sefer HaIkrim goes further and he says that tshuva me'ira, tshuva out of fear itself, there are two types. There is a more authentic and a more genuine tshuva me'ira, and then there is one where you're not really sorry, but you just can't tolerate the punishment. He says a genuine tshuva me'ira is, indeed you have fear of the punishment, but even when the punishment is removed, you recognize Hashem's omnipotence, you recognize that Hashem runs the world, you recognize that everything comes from Hashem, you recognize divine providence, and then even though it's not out of love, it's not a positive tshuva, but it's a tshuva that does come from a genuine theological recognition of the divine providence, the fact that Hashem brings charva onish to the world, and you're not attributing things to just random chance, you're not just saying that the world is just a meaningless and uncaring place, that the world is operating based on Hashem's providence. That's a fairly legitimate mode of tshuva. Even if ultimately what you're afraid of is punishment, but if you recognize that it's Hashem's punishment and Hashem is running the world, he says that is a genuine tshuva. He says that there's a lesser kind of tshuva machmas yira. He says that you don't really believe anything. You don't believe that God runs the world. You haven't gotten a theological epiphany that Hashem is really in charge. Right now, you're being hit, you're being punched, you're desperate. You say, please, anything, help me, God, I'll be good. You just make it stop, whatever it is. You don't have any real deep theological thing. You'll say anything, you'll just do anything. You can't tolerate the pressure. But so you say, now, obviously, I'm not sure exactly what this means. Obviously, if you don't really believe there's a God, you're not going to say, God, help me. It says there are no atheists in the foxholes. But that means, to some extent, the person is a believer while he's in the foxhole. But apparently the Sefer HaIkrim is saying that's not genuine belief. The fact that while you're in extremis, you will say, I'll be good, I'll do whatever you want, no atheists and foxholes. That's not a genuine tshuva, even an authentic tshuva me'ira. And the litmus test is, if as soon as the onish stops, you go back to doing what you were doing before, it doesn't stick, you go back to your old ways, obviously you haven't genuinely changed. You don't really believe that God runs the world. When you're under pressure, what do you have to lose? You just say, God, help me. God, I'll be good. Get me out of here. But if as soon as the pressure is relieved, you go back to where you were before, you're not really acknowledging everything is from God. You're saying, okay, I was under pressure. I said that. Now I'm going back to where I was before. That, he says, that is not really a genuine tshuva, even as a tshuva me'ira. And that was what Paro was doing. Paro, while he was under pressure, while the makkah was in place, he said, Moshe, please tell Hashem, I'll be good, stop, just anything, and get this to stop. As soon as the Makkah ended, Paro went right back to being a Rasha. That's not real tshuva. That's not tshuva, even a genuine tshuva meira, he says. And that's what we mean when it says that Hashem hardened Paro's heart. What the Torah means is that since he's not really doing tshuva to begin with, similar to what the Ramban was saying, that this wasn't really a tshuva, that he wasn't really doing tshuva, he was just saying, get this pressure off me. As soon as I relieve the pressure from of the Makkah, Paro goes back to being a Rasha. So Hashem says that I'm not going to let him do that, I'm not going to let him get away with that. And what Hashem was doing was, he was giving Paro the chance, he throws in another point, he was giving Paro the chance to relate the Makkahs to other things, to saying it was just an accident, it was just some kind of freak of nature. The point was, Paro wasn't genuinely a Maimon. Paro didn't genuinely believe this was from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. While the Makkos were landing on his head, he said, "God, please make it stop. You know, just get the, just whatever. I can't. I'm not a philosopher right now. I can't make logical arguments. Just get this out of here. God, please, Moshe, do something." But as soon as the fear was off, Paro was no longer so interested in tshuva. And therefore, he says what Paro did was that Hashem said, "I removed that aniach badati eslibo," means the Karam says that I removed when I removed the fear. Let's see what he actually does when I remove the fear from him. At that point, he chose to write this off as freaks of nature and it's just mikra and so on. What the Torah warns us not to do in Parshas Bechukosai, and therefore that he brings Parshas Bechukosai and telchu imikeri. That is what the Sefer Ikarim says at some length. That's not real tshuva, he says. Someone who genuinely believes in Ashkacha, then even though he's only doing it because he's terrified, that's a madrega. It's not tshuva me'ava, but that's at least tshuva me'ira. Mashenkin Paro, as soon as the pressure was off, Paro found some way to explain away the makos. That shows he was not genuinely a maimon, that he was simply interpreting the plagues when it was convenient for anything else. That's what it means, Vani Akshes Le Paro, that Paro didn't actually lose his Bechira. He said, the Sefer Ikarim seems to be saying that he says that even though he's doing tshuva while the pressure is on him, Hashem removes the pressure to see what's he going to do when there's no pressure. And what Paro chose to do when the pressure had been alleviated, when the pressure had lifted, what Paro did was he immediately wrote off the Makkos as it's not being the hand of God. And that's what Hashem was saying when Hashem said that I have hardened his heart. Kolomar, what Hashem meant was, when I removed the immediacy of the pressure and the fear that he had acquired because of the Makkah, and I left him to make a fair decision, and he chose to make excuses and say what the Makkos were, that's what it means when it says that Hashem hardened Paro's heart. It means that Hashem removed the pressure of the Makkah and gave him the chance to make a decision, and his decision was to say it was Mikra, and that's all it means. So Sefer Ikarim seems to be concluding that Hashem did not actually harden Paro's heart. Hashem simply removed the pressure from him, which allowed him to choose, and he chose to be a Rasha. That's all it means that Hashem hardened his heart. It means that Hashem could have kept the pressure on, which would have caused Paro to send the Jews out. Hashem chose not to keep the pressure on, to remove the pressure, and that let Paro show his true colors. And that's what it means that Hashem hardened Paro's heart. Hashem removed the pressure from Paro, which allowed Paro to show what he was really doing, that his paying lip service to God moments earlier was just a no atheist in the foxholes type of tshuva, which is not a meaningful tshuva. The Sfarno makes this point even more clearly. The Sfarno says that when it says that Hashem hardened Paro's heart, he says he says it a little differently, but what he says is as follows. He says the pressure of the Makkos was so great, Paro would not have been able to withstand the Makkos. Not because he had Yirat Shamayim, because he was admitting that God is great and so on, but because Paro simply couldn't tolerate the Makkos. Not because he had any genuine remorse, Paro couldn't have tolerated the Makkos. Like his servant said, Terem Tedek Yavda Mitzrayim. That's not really tshuva. Saying you can't tolerate the Makkos, that's not tshuva. But had Paro wanted to do genuine tshuva, Hashem certainly would have given him the chance to do the tshuva. What it says, Vani Akshe Slave Paro, a little different from the Sefer Ikarim. Sefer Ikarim says that it means that Hashem removed the immediate pressure and gave Paro the chance to show his true colors and be a Rasha. The Sfarno says, Vaniaksha Slave Paro means, I gave Paro the chance to tolerate the Makos. That normally the Makos were so overwhelming, the Makos would have been, under normal conditions, so overwhelming and so intolerable that anybody, even the biggest Russian in the world, would have freed the Jews. Hashem didn't want that. Hashem didn't want Paro to have the chance to do that, because that's not really tshuva. So if hitting Paro so hard that he has no choice but to give in, that's not really tshuva. So Hashem simply gave Paro the ability, the mental fortitude, the toughness to say that I can tolerate this. That was the chizuk of Lev Paro. Hashem simply strengthened him, gave him the strength, gave him the power to tolerate the Makos, and that left it up to Paro to decide what he would want to do. That by Hashem mitigating the pressure, by Hashem making him able to support the pressure, the male of Paro had the choice of what to do, whether to give in or not, and Paro indeed decided to be a Russia and continue to be intransigent. So we have the Ramban, the Sfarno, and the Sefer Ikarim, who all point out that even when Paro would have given in for the later Makos, did give in temporarily, that was not a genuine giving in. The way the Ramban puts it is that even then, since he wasn't really doing tshuva, Hashem didn't give him the chance to do tshuva. Hashem hardened his heart. Since there wasn't a genuine tshuva, Hashem actually hardened his heart. The way the Sefer Ikarim puts it is that the hardening of the heart just refers to Hashem taking away the immediate pressure of the Makos and then letting Paro decide what he wanted to do, where he decided, since he wasn't really a Maimon, he didn't really believe, he then attributed the Makos to, once he was no longer an extremist, he attributed the Makos to other things. And the way the Sfarno says it is, he toughened Paro's heart, he gave Paro the ability to withstand the Makos, otherwise Paro would have given in, but that would have been meaningless. He wanted Paro to have the chance to show his true colors, so he gave Paro extra strength and extra fortitude to be able to tolerate the Makos. This idea of the Sfarno was really mentioned earlier in Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra mentions this idea. He attributes it to someone named Rabbi Yeshua. He says, Rabbi Yeshua Amar, ki tam akshes libo lispalas hamakos. When it says that Hashem hardened Paro's heart, it means he gave him the strength to tolerate the Makos and not break. Ibn Ezra says that's not correct. Lo diber nechona. In the other version, he talks about he attributes this pshat to others, both in the Pirush Aruch and in the Pirush HaKatzar. In the Aruch, he attributes it to Rabbi Yeshua. In the Katzar, he attributes it to Anshei Shikul Hadas, some kind of philosophical school, that he gave him the strength to support the Makos. Ibn Ezra himself doesn't like this pshat. He doesn't feel it's mashmer in the psukim. What exactly he does think the pshat is less clear. He asks the Kashi, he says, many people ask, he asks, why are we punishing Paro if Hashem took away his Bechira? He says something very elliptic, very cryptic, and he sends you to what he says elsewhere in Chumash Dvarim. I'm not going to try to say what he says because I don't begin to understand it, but he says something very cryptic and difficult to understand. But he also acknowledges the question. He brings the same idea of the Sfarno, that the Aksha es Libo means Hashem gave him the strength to tolerate the Makos. He doesn't like that, however. Unlike Sfarno, he doesn't like it. And he tells his own pshat is something subtle and something that I do not really understand. The question was raised even earlier, before all these commentaries, after the Midrash, but before Rambam and Ramban and Sfarno and Ibn Ezra and Sefer Ikarim. The question was raised by Rav Sadia Gaon in his Emunos Videos, in his magnum opus on Jewish philosophy, first great post-Talmudic work of Jewish philosophy, Emunos Videos. So he discusses the question there as well. After he establishes at great length that people do have free will, he says, now we're going to discuss all the many psukim that lead people astray, that cause some people to think that we don't have free will. He divides them into eight categories of psukim. Each one has multiple examples. So he says, category number three, he says, is similar again to Sfarno, to the Rabbi Yeshua, to the Anshei Shikul Hadas, that it doesn't mean Hashem took away Paro's Bechira, but it means that Hashem gave him the ability to withstand the Makos. The way Rav Sadia says it is, b'chizuk ha-nefesh, in the strengthening of the soul, be'eis ba'a shoa shel pega, when a disaster, when a catastrophe of misfortune comes, Oshel Shmua, or he hears terrible, terrible news, and he hears daunting, daunting information, that normally a person would psychologically collapse, wouldn't be able to have the mental fortitude to withstand it. And the Yechazik Hashem is he gave him the strength to withstand it. He says, some people misunderstand this. Some people think he actually took away his Bechira. That is absolutely not true, he says. Not like the seeming shot of the Midrash, not like the Rambam. Hashem does not do that, he says. He says that it just meant Paro normally would have been swept away by the incredible power and devastation of the Makkos. He wouldn't have been able to tolerate the rest of the Makkos. So Hashem said, Hashem gave him the strength to withstand the Makkos. Sichon, one of the Psukim Rambam and other commentaries bring is about Sichon. It says Hashem said, I hardened Sichon's heart to bring about his downfall. Again, Sichon never would have given battle to Klal Yisrael. Once he heard about the great miracles Hashem was doing for the Jewish people, Sichon wouldn't have given battle. Hashem gave him the strength to be bold. Sichon was a Rasha. Sichon was not doing tshuva, but Sichon simply didn't have the morale, didn't have the courage to stand up to Klal Yisrael. Hashem gave him courage. He didn't take away his Bechira, but he simply gave him mental toughness. And then he chose to do the wrong thing, and he chose to fight, and Hashem destroyed him. So that's where Rav Sadia says, similar to Sfarno, similar to the people of Ben Ezra brings, that Hashem did not actually take away Paro's Bechira. Hashem simply gave him the strength to withstand. A normal person couldn't have stood up and persevered and kept his course in the face of the Makkos. Hashem simply gave him the strength to do that, and because he was not actually doing tshuva. Of course he could have done tshuva, but he wasn't. Like the Ramban said also, he wasn't actually doing tshuva. Therefore Hashem gave him the strength to withstand the Makkos so he could be destroyed in an even greater way and suffer even more and eventually be, before he was eventually totally destroyed. The Meiri has a fascinating and little-known discussion of this topic at great length in his Chibur HaTshuvah. Chibur HaTshuvah is a fascinating, fascinating work. Meiri is a fairly prolix writer in all his works, and Chibur HaTshuvah is just this sprawling trip through all of Jewish thought and halacha. He goes off on tangents and digressions at the drop of a hat. It's a tremendously fun work to read if you have time and you're willing to enjoy just the joy of his zipping around through all of Jewish thought. It's hundreds of pages. So in Chibur HaTshuvah, it's all about tshuva and the Yimei Hadin, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, fast days, Tzchar V'Onesh. But as I said, he goes off on every manner of tangent and exploring every concept, every idea that comes up. He explores it in the most brilliant and interesting ways. So when he discusses free will, he discusses at great length the concept of free will. He says, of course, following Rambam, he was a great follower of Rambam. Following Rambam, of course, we have free will. It's fundamental to the Torah. Absolutely, that's what the Torah tells us. That's what philosophy tells us. That is what he says. However, he says, like Rav Sadia, like the Rambam, he says, there are many psukim, that seem to contradict this, that Hashem just manipulates people like puppets and hardens their heart, like Paro, and makes them do whatever he wants them to do. So Meiri says, first of all, there are other ways to interpret the psukim that Hashem does not take away their free will, as we've discussed, and he's going to give a few examples as well, a few examples of such interpretation. But even if they actually lost their free will, he says, like the Rambam, even if, like the Midrash, even if they lost their free will, that's acceptable theologically, that sometimes it happens to a person, even though the ordinary law that governs the world is that people have free will, Hashem can override that, just like he can override all the laws of nature and make miracles, as he occasionally does. He can override people's free will, and he can override people's free will to take away their Bechira. He develops this at great length, that because of the Onesh of Paro, like the Rambam says, because of Paro's great villainy, that Hashem took away his Bechira, take away his chance to do tshuva. Fine. That happens when a person is so egregious, is such a Rasha, is such an absolute villain, that Hashem may decide to interfere and take away his Bechira. So that's the first approach, following the Rambam, following the Midrash, that sometimes Hashem takes away Bechira. Then the Meiri goes on, though, and he says, "V'amnam yesh ktsas chacham." There are some scholars, he says, there are some Jewish thinkers who simply refuse to accept such a thing. Lo matzu b'sichlam, they could not accept It was simply unacceptable to them, intellectually, morally, that Hashem would ever take away Bechira. They were simply absolute hardliners on Bechira. They could not fathom that Hashem would ever take away anyone's Bechira, b'shum panim, not even for a punishment. Since Bechira is so fundamental, Hashem would never do that. Hashem would never take away their Bechira. So what are all these Tukim describing? What does it mean that Hashem took away Paro's Bechira? What does it mean that Hashem took away Sichon's Bechira? Other examples in Tanakh. So he brings a number of pshatim. One pshat is, he says, that a person is born kind of tabula rasa, lo shiyah betchilas inyano bal mala o bal chisaron. A person is not born fixed one way or another, having good midos or bad midos, but a person is born, he says, with inclinations one way or another. A person could be born with a natural inclination toward a good character trait, toward listening to Hashem or not. It's a person's job to overcome that. If he has an inclination toward bad midos, it's a person's job to overcome that, to work on himself. If he doesn't do that, then the path of least resistance, he may end up being pushed by his natural inclinations to be a rasha. But that's up to him. Ultimately, he has the choice to overcome his nature or to let himself fall into the path that his nature would tend to drive him. Paro had a certain natural bent toward intransigence. He says that's just how Paro was constructed. That Paro was born with a certain tendency toward intransigence. The way he puts it is Again, it's quite long. I'm just looking for the proper Nashuv L'Dvareinu. He returns to the main line after he digresses on this for a while. He says that when it says that Chazik Hashem Eslev Paro, that Paro was created with a certain inclination toward bad midas. Paro could have overcome it. He was supposed to overcome it. Paro didn't, he says. And we call that Hashem hardened Paro's heart, because ultimately it was up to him. We say Hashem did it because Hashem did create him with this Yetzer Hara, with this inclination toward bad midas. That's how Hashem makes the world. Some people have Yetzer Haras for particular things, for various temptations. Paro had an inclination towards intransigence, toward defiance, toward being a villain. But he could have overcome that. He should have overcome that. He didn't. So it says Vayichazik Hashem Eslev Paro, that ultimately it was the way Hashem made him, but it wasn't. But he had the choice. He had the choice to overcome his nature. He didn't, but Hashem did not actually force him to do anything. All it means when it says Vayichazik Hashem Eslev Paro was that Hashem made him the way he was, made him in a way that he ultimately ended up bad, but he could have and should have overcome that. He brings another pshat. He says that when it says for the last few makos that Vayichazik Hashem and not the first few makos, the change in language doesn't mean that Hashem actually took away his Bechira. The change in language means once a person develops a habit, the habit becomes hergel nasa teva, the habit becomes entrenched and ingrained, and it's harder and harder to change the habit. The Gemara says, Mishavar Aver Vashana, Nasa Lo Keheter, becomes harder and harder to change your bad habits. So the reason it says in the last five Makos Vayichazik Hashem Eslev Paro, what the Psukim are telling you is that Paro had become so entrenched and so habituated to being intransigent and being a Rasha and not listening to Hashem, it was harder and harder for him to change it because he was so entrenched in his path. It was increasingly difficult for him to change. Why do we call that Hashem did it? We call things that are natural. We often attribute nature to Hashem. Asher lo tzadav elokim aliyado. Some of the Mepharshim say the laws of nature are often attributed to God. God made the world, so everything in the world indirectly is attributable to God. So when it says that God hardened his heart, it means God in the sense of the way God made people, the way God made human nature, that once they start going down a path, it becomes increasingly difficult to turn around. That's all it was. It was simply a question of Paro's own bad midos corrupted him and made him more and more difficult to change. That's all it means. It means that the language of God is just a kind of a literary flourish. It just means like everything in nature is attributable to God. But all it really means is that Paro's bad midos corrupted him and made it impossible for him to change his mind, or more difficult for him to change his mind. And that's all it means that when it says that Hashem hardened Paro's heart. Miri brings another pshat. He says that when it says that Hashem hardened Paro's heart, It doesn't mean at all that Hashem hardened Paro's heart. What it means is Hashem revealed the hardness of Paro's heart. It says about Beis Din, it says, when Beis Din hears a case, it says, V'itzdiku es atzadik, v'irshiyu es arasha. Beis Din makes the righteous man righteous and makes the villain into a villain. It doesn't mean Beis Din makes him into a villain. It means Beis Din establishes his villainy. Beis Din rules and issues a verdict declaring him a villain. So that's what it means here also. When it says that Hashem hardened Paro's heart, it means Hashem established the hardness of Paro's heart. By bringing, Paro himself was just an incorrigible villain. By Hashem bringing the most horrific makos on him, and Paro persisted in his ways, Hashem was showing everyone, look at what a bad guy Paro is. Look at what I'm doing to him, and he's still being a Rasha. That's what it means that he hardened Paro's heart. He revealed, he demonstrated to people how hard Paro's heart really was. Now we can debate whether any of these pshatim are putrushal mikra or not. What is the putrushal mikra of hardening Paro's heart? For that, it's probably still the Midrash and the Rambam that Hashem actually took away Paro's free will. But the point is, as Meiri says, that all Jewish thinkers had a very hard time with this. All Jewish thinkers, as Rabbi Yochanan said, this is a pischon pelaminim. This is so alien to mainstream Jewish thought, to normative Jewish thought, that people have free will. It's such a fundamental belief that everyone has trouble with this pasuk. Some people took the simplest approach, the Midrash, the Rambam, that yes, Hashem hardened his heart. It's just an exception. It's the exception that proves the rule. The normal rule is that people have free will, but this was just an exceptional case. The Tanakh contains a few exceptional cases where Hashem hardened people's hearts. Many other commentaries give other pshatim. They say, we saw the Rav Sadia and the Sfarno, and some people quoted by Ibn Ezra, that Hashem just enabled Paro to withstand the Makos. That's what he did. Hashem did intervene, but not to take away his free will. He intervened just to strengthen him and make him strong to be able to withstand the Makos, not to collapse under the Makos, not to give in Machmas Yira, which wasn't really a true tshuva, or the coin to the Sefer Ikarim. He simply removed the immediate pressure and gave Paro the chance to show his true colors. That's one approach. We mentioned the approach that Meiri has several other approaches, that all it means that Hashem hardened his heart is that Hashem made him the way he was, that without choosing to change himself, he was left as an evil person. He developed into what was a tendency toward evil. He didn't change course. That's what it means Hashem hardened his heart. Or that Hashem demonstrated his villainy by bringing such terrible punishments upon him, and still he refused to be cowed. He was demonstrating how bad Paro was, or that it was Paro's own habits that are being referred to as God, because it was the habits actually that caused Paro to be a Rasha. But again, there are many different approaches in Jewish thought that take it as so axiomatic that people have free will. They were even unwilling, as Meiri says, to accept that even on an exceptional basis, Hashem would ever take away people's free will. And therefore, they came up with all these other explanations for what exactly the pasuk means when it says, "Vayechazik Hashem eslev Paro ki aniach badati eslev Paro."